Today's show is sponsored by Howl.fm.
It's like the Netflix for podcasts with exclusive access to dozens of original miniseries, audio documentaries, and comedy albums.
And all the archives from WTF with Marc Maron and all the Earwolf shows.
Access it all on your iPhone, your Android phone, and on the web for how much? $4.99 a month.
What? And by using the promo code OMFG at checkout, you get a full month of Howl for free.
That's Howl.fm.
Plus, Howl subscribers have a chance to win a two-night trip to L.A. for two, including a visit to the Earwolf Studios to sit in on the recording of an Earwolf show.
I hope it's ours. Just start a free trial to be eligible for the contest. No purchase is necessary. Must be 18 years of age or older and a legal U.S. resident of the 48 contiguous states or D.C.
Go to contest.howl.fm after signing up to enter and for all the rules. Good luck! I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Refiel.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless. Hello.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. Welcome to you. Welcome, listeners.
We are here today having a fun little round table, as we're wont to do.
As we're wont to do, and we haven't done yet.
We've never done it, but we've always been wont to do it.
We've been wont to want to do it.
Yes. And we're going to talk about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Because they're so white. And there's a hashtag, Oscars So White.
All right.
We're just going to get into the nitty gritty. How do people feel? How are the youths feeling? We don't know.
We don't know.
We know how we feel.
I think I know how I feel.
Yeah, I guess it's a little confusing, but we're going to unpack it all.
Right.
We've got with us today Emu Zhu, beautiful former guest who just brings us a lot of joy in general in our lives. So I'm really excited to hear her thoughts.
For those of you who are thinking, wait, who is Emu? If you recall, she taught us Plur.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, love, unity, and respect.
Respect.
You get that Plur when you're in your EDM, out in the dance floor, and you've maybe, you know, had a skosh of this or that.
Just a bump.
Yeah. And then you don't need it. You can just have Plur from the music itself.
That's right. Although I don't know that I've ever had Plur. Have you?
Peace, love, unity, and respect.
All at once in a ball of music.
I've only ever had two out of four.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's the numbers I'm working with.
We also have Garrick Bernard joining us.
Sure. Garrick talked to us, if I recall.
I was going to say, what did he
By Felicia.
To? Oh, by Felicia. It was a while ago.
And that was something very important to bring to the people, the origins and origin story. And, you know, that was...
That was then.
That was then.
Now.
And this is now.
Here we are. Welcome.
And, you know, I think I will just say this before we get down to business. I know, and maybe this is more for the roundtable, but... I know that when I watched Fresh Off the Boat, because we're going to talk about diversity and just what that means and what that looks like. And I think that, you know, we would be, it's, you know, oh, it's Hollywood, whatever, who cares? But that's so much a part of who we are and how we, you know, see ourselves is through TV and movies. And we're so connected. It's what people talk about all the time.
Right.
And I know when I watched the first episode of Fresh Off the Boat with my husband, who's Chinese, I know that afterwards, we laughed. We love that show. I think it's hilarious. But after it, he like got angry when we finished the episode. He's like, basically the realization that he hasn't seen his family or himself up until that point. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So I think there's, you know, that's just kind of where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And I really heard it. And he, you know, I felt it in real time that, oh my gosh, why haven't I seen my family, my people represented correctly or really at all in pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's bring these crazy kids in.
Let's bring them in. Well, welcome both. Thank you for being here to discuss this very important topic.
Emily, I hate to do this.
Yeah,
do it. But are you feeling the sexual chemistry between our two guests?
Oh God. Whoa.
I'm feeling excited right now. And I don't know if I'm alone.
Okay. Well,
let's just start there.
Great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
We have two sexy mofos across from us. All right, I'll calm down. It's not a great start to put everybody on the defense. But I felt what I felt.
Okay, great.
You know, okay. I can't deny my own self.
Look, we've often said we're doing God's work, and it comes in many shapes and forms.
We've seen crazier things happen.
We have.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we have Garrick Bernard.
Hey.
Hi, Garrick.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing well.
Yeah. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
You look healthy.
Yeah, I've been eating more. That's always good.
More food?
Yes. More nourishment.
Were you not eating food?
No, because I had moved out of my parents' house and
starving yourself.
Yeah, I was starving myself.
Okay. Because you didn't have the funds to nourish yourself.
Not the funds, just the cooking know-how.
And, that makes sense.
The mother. I need a...
You need a mom.
I need a mom. That's just...
I need a mom, too. I get it.
At the end of the day, you just need mom.
What would mom cook for you?
What wouldn't she cook?
She throws down.
Yeah. No,
okay.
It's everything.
And you've now learned?
No.
Okay.
I just now... eat out more.
Okay. I feel so were you on the ramen tip?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just out of laziness, honestly.
It's a good tip, though. I love ramen.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But apparently it kills you slowly.
Yes, it does. So. It's all bullshit and sodium, really.
Sodium.
It's a salt lick.
Salt noodle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's delicious. Yeah. I want some right now. Sounds so good. Yeah.
So it's nice to see that this is simple nutrients I'm seeing on you right now. We were seeing you malnourished, and now you're nourished.
Now I'm a nourished boy.
Fabulous.
I'm so proud of you. It's kind of ridiculous.
Thank you. Thank
We've
you.
Learned to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a 20s problem.
I know.
That's
well, you
cute.
Know what? I have to say, I'm not great at the whole, like, going to the grocery store and making meals moment. And I had my first good week where I, like, used everything I bought and made a lot of meals.
Okay.
So,
wifey.
I know.
Wife status.
Wife status just upped. Although I don't think it's appreciated by anyone but me.
Okay.
Like, I was really proud of myself.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, too.
Thank you, Wemu. I need that.
Those melodic tones are coming from our beautiful, gorgeous guest, Emu Zoo.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So nice to be here again.
Oh,
feeling the positive vibes all around.
A lot of plur in here. Definitely.
A lot of plur.
Yeah.
Great. A lot of plur.
A lot of plur. A plethora of plur.
We can't even say that. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it sounds like an NPR type of
thing. Ew. Wait.
Ew.
Sweaty balls.
Have you guys heard of, and I know we're off topic, we're not going to talk about white Oscars, but has anybody heard of I think it's ADMR, something like that.
ASMR.
Yeah.
Okay.
ASMR.
Where people, it's a lot of these talk.
But you talk to the left a little bit, and you talk to the right a little
and
bit.
And it's the sounds that I feel like it should make.
Who's listening to this? Is this just pie people?
Okay, explain what it is, because it's,
Do you know what it is at all?
No, I don't.
Okay, so let me.
And say what it is again.
It's ASMR. I need to Google what it stands
that's
for.
That's fine.
I can get on that.
But I learned about it because on Reddit, there's two like subreddits. One is called ASMR and another one's called frisson. So frisson is that emotional feeling you get when you listen to like cinematic music and you get goosebumps all
that
up.
That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, so that's a form of
frisson. What are you calling it?
Frisson. Like it's like, do you remember?
Can you spell it?
It's frisson.
And okay.
I actually learned about it.
French.
I think I learned about it in like a book by Meg Cabot or something. And they talked about like when you feel that when you look at someone.
Okay.
It's like that emotional.
I get that all the time. I love knowing that word.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So when you listen to stuff and you just get this all-encompassing feeling, kind of like you're on something. And so ASMR is kind of like the more practical way of achieving that. But it's all like soft sounds. It's like nails on like the... Like I don't know, not nails on the chalkboard, but it's like, I don't know, like small clicking noises.
And
Well, maybe not.
It's happening right
I heard
now.
A lot of that when I was Googling ASMR, and I was like, I don't need to hear someone's like throat
it's
smacking.
It's a lot of like lip and Like, yes. It seems like a lot of saliva is involved.
And not everyone can experience it. So some people, when they listen to it, they're like, what the hell is going on? This is creepy and weird and a little bit perverted.
Right.
But some people get that same frisson feeling. They feel like a warm egg cracked on your head and just overcompasses you.
Wow, okay. You really did a beautiful job explaining.
No, you really fucking nailed it. We couldn't have known that you would come in with all that.
So correct. I'm crazy. But I don't experience it myself. I only get frisson, but I desperately try to feel the ASMR. So it's like I'm just listening to these weird videos trying to
see. I think I felt it.
Oh, really?
It made me feel funny inside.
Oh. It stands for autonomous sensory meridian response.
So, we would like to just calling all ASMR artists out there. We would love to have one of you fools in to click and clack at us and make us feel like a warm egg is dripping down our faces. Ew, it's making me feel crazy.
Did you guys feel it?
I did not.
I mean, I'm very aroused.
So
we're
going to get into these feelings on the White Oscar. Before we do, where are you, both of your love lives at right now? Last time, if I recall... Emu, you were sort of a single gal in the town, Sex and the City, Los Angeles style.
Absolutely.
Okay, where are we at right now?
Still there, but it's getting a little grim. I feel like I joined Bumble recently.
You have,
That app.
That's the girl power app.
Girl power app, but a little bit like I feel like a bro when I use it because I don't have a standard. I don't like to come up with unique messages.
Right.
What does a unique message look like?
For example, if a guy has a dog in his picture, I'll be like, oh, cute puppy. Like, where is he from? I don't care about where you're from. No, but now I've just resorted to emojis. So I always send like a hand wave, like maybe two if they're cute, and then a drink if I'm like more intrigued.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Garrick, if you receive that. Two hand wave emojis and like a drink emoji in a message of any sort, Instagram, like just
first
you don't have to
message.
Be a first impression.
Two hand waves and I just send one back, honestly, because I don't know what that means. I know the hand wave is a hand wave, of course, but
the additional wave.
You're like, wow, she is waving.
Wow.
So you feel like she's a little thirsty with that second wave?
No, not thirsty at all, but the drink definitely.
In.
Because then it's like,
I
don't even drink that much, but I see that you are...
Well, which drink? Is it the cheersing beers or is it like the glass of wine?
Sometimes.
Or is it the martini glass?
I like to do the martini sometimes. Okay. And then if they're like a little bit classier, like if they have, I don't know, like if they look like I have money, guys, beer and real.
Okay, that's real.
And then if they're like more outdoorsy, I like to go for a beer. Yeah. Like if they've got mountain picks or a beard.
So you do cater it a little to them. This is a unique message.
A little bit.
Yeah. There we go.
But it's like a 2-second thought process. So I've never felt more like a bro than using Bumble because I initiate. I have to keep them and then or like keep the match like going or whatever. But I don't know. Nothing's really come of it.
Now maybe, okay, so just Garrick's giving you some feedback.
Okay.
He said the one hand with the martini, he is like, oh, cool. She's saying hi and she wants to go get a drink. The second hand, double hand, is actually, I don't know, what is that second hand making you feel?
If it's two hands together and just those two hands, I'm like, all right, cool. She's waving for a long time. If it's the hand wave... It's the hand wave and whatever alcoholic beverage. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay, she's saying hi and she wants to go out at some point.
Okay, but the two.
If it's a hand wave, the drink, and then another hand wave.
Well, that's not what she offered you. It's hand drink.
Right. Okay, so then if it's just those three, the sandwich, the drink in between the hand sandwich. I don't
That's
like that
scary.
At all.
I that get is that. Very I, because then you're like, she's still fucking saying hi. Maybe I don't even like her.
Yeah,
it's a little clingy. Okay, good. These are great notes for me. I'm going to employ them in my dating adventures.
Never do the sandwich.
I will never
don't
do a sandwich.
It stressed me out. You're right. I did not get frisson in the good way thinking about that. It was a fear frisson.
Right.
Yeah.
Fear frisson.
And so you are doing what with your dating right now? Were you broken up with someone?
You had just broken up?
Yeah, like the day
before.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
It was, and that came up right at the end and we were like, what?
No.
Why weren't we talking about this the whole time?
Exactly. And I believe that if I recall, you, it was like a good girl. And I feel like your relationship was really good.
Right.
And you just...
You wanted her back, if I recall.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Okay, so where are we at?
She's somewhere, wherever she is. Okay. I don't know where she's. I hope her the best, she's or wish gone. Her the best.
She's gone, baby, gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, as of late, this is a year now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've just been, you know, dating around, which is nice. Exploring myself.
Different sexual things than you were doing before.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that what's happening?
That's definitely what's
happening. Okay.
You know.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It takes a lot to say that on a podcast.
Right?
Yeah.
It does. I'm glad we got there. I'm glad we all
I feel like
read
that was,
between those lines.
Yeah.
If it took a lot for everybody, if you think it took a lot, it took nothing at all.
So what have you learned? What has the 1 year brought you? What new things have you learned out there on the field?
I have learned that I'll just constantly compare what whoever I'm with at the time to the past relationship.
So the girl, the one girl?
Yeah, oh, regardless.
Fuck. Shit.
But that happens.
I do that too.
Right? I mean, your last major relationship, you're always going to hold someone to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are people matching
meeting
up?
The standard? I don't think anybody can. I don't think anybody can. You just have to accept, the hand you're dealt.
And we're not getting back together with her. She doesn't want you back.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Okay. White Oscars.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. All right. So we have a situation at hand.
Yeah.
Second year in a row.
Yes.
Nobody has been nominated in the best actor, best actress, supporting actor, supporting actress categories. That's four that are non-white.
It's like a Swedish film festival.
Yeah. Swedish film festival.
Yeah, that's what it should be renamed, the Oscars.
Yeah. So that's bringing up some feels.
Right.
Pretty much across the board.
Definitely.
You guys want to talk about how you feel about it? Maybe start with Garrick.
Yeah. I am I wouldn't say I'm upset. I'm a little disappointed, you know. I would have rather, of course, you would love to see your own kind represented, or
and your kind is
African American.
Okay,
I feel like anyway. it's always nice to see representation. Somebody you can look up to in modern media, which is always nice. This year was less of a surprise.
Okay,
you know, if I'm being honest, it was like, okay, well, I can see like some of the excuses that they can use, like all of the best actor or best supporting actor were from Netflix, from the Beast of No Nation movie. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba for supporting actor, and then Abraham Atta for actor. And I can see that where they're like, oh well, it was a Netflix movie, one straight to DVD or whatever. They might have missed that, sure, but they have in the past recognize Netflix for, you know, in an Oscar
as
nomination.
Like an Oscar option,
right? Okay. And then one of actually a documentary has been nominated from Netflix, the one about Nina Simone. I believe.
I'm not sure. I'll look that up right now.
Yeah. But
so you're saying based on what actually was produced and out there, you're not shocked that there's a world in which an African-American actor or actress wasn't chosen for this particular year.
Right.
Okay.
Actress, I'm a little bit more surprised with that one.
Okay.
Because I forget her name. Her last name is Paris. And she was in the Chirac movie that Spike Lee did. She was really good in that film. And then Maya Taylor, I think is her name. She was in Tangerine.
She's a trans actress,
and she was really good in that film. Okay. So those two, I was like, come on, you're this is an obvious snub. I feel like you guys just nominated Jennifer Lawrence for Tripping again on some kind of stage. Like,
yeah.
yeah. But you know, I've made an effort to watch all of the movies that have been nominated to at least get a little bit of insight on why that would be nominated.
Okay. And And we're not just saying there weren't any, you know, black actors. There's no person that's not color. White.
Right.
There. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which no Asian, no Latino, no.
Yep. Native no American, nothing. Right. No, nothing.
Southeast got nothing Asian. To it. Yeah. Not there.
Actually, I misspoke. There was an actor that was really good. Jason Mitchell. He played Eazy-E in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that was like the first time I've seen someone cough and almost cry. Like I was about to cry because he was I don't know if you've seen the movie.
I love the movie. Does. I haven't seen a lot of movies, but I loved it. It was so good. I mean, I love that movie.
Yeah, it was good. Great.
Yeah, it was great. It
was a very convincing cough.
Yeah.
For the cough.
Yeah.
Yeah. There should be a category.
For coughing.
Coughing category.
And everybody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Just the cough, like, lays it all out.
Exactly.
Like the I'm dying cough. Yeah. I don't think I could pull it off.
I would love to try, but I don't think I could pull it off either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Emu, did you have any, like, first thoughts when you heard this controversy of, like, oh, gosh, here we are again, year two? Not nary a non-white person.
I mean, I wasn't especially surprised. I think just from what I knew about what the Oscars were, they're kind of an outdated, like older, like audience. And they don't think they really knew what the movies like Tangerine or was it Shaina?
Chirac.
Yeah. Like I don't think those were movies that they were as focused on. The big mainstream movies that got all the press and all the possible, like, you know, publicity.
Yeah.
Those are all the ones that got nominated. I mean, I saw like 1,000 commercials for Joy, like on Hulu, and I saw not one for like anything else.
Right.
And I think for the Straight Out of Compton, like I was surprised that didn't get any really recognition because it was the highest grossing movie of this entire year, if I'm not mistaken. And
I think it's opening weekend was the highest grossing.
So I felt that the reasoning behind that was like to recognize just the writers, I think, but not the cast, was because it was a really large ensemble. I think that was where it kind of got narrowed down because I read through how they vote too. Okay. Like I did a little bit of homework.
Teach us. So tell us a little bit about the voting process.
And your nationality is?
I'm Chinese.
Okay.
So I'm never going to see anyone probably in my lifetime. Well, hopefully.
No,
I mean, I just like it's not something that I just like I've gotten to the point where like I'm used to it and I'm not expecting anything, especially from the Oscars. Maybe the Golden Globes, maybe like, you know, in television, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
But in these studios, like, that are, you know, Hollywood is dominated, there's not one single person of color that is in charge. And that is maybe feeding into the diversity of what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never surprised. But I think ultimately what you have to do is, you know, it's not about your skin color at all. It's about the quality of work that you put out. So as long as it's good, it doesn't have to be recognized by the Oscars, I think. Like, yes, it is an industry standard, but I'm not worried about getting a nomination. I'm just worried about, like, how many people saw it? Did they like it? Did it send a message? And ultimately, if that's the case, then I feel like that sends more weight than boycotting the Oscars.
True, but if you're going to work really hard, you want to be recognized, right?
And that's my thing about it, is, or with the upset side of it, is that, you want to at least, you know, be seen or whatever. You want to have that Academy Award nominee such and such in your bio or when you're...
Exactly.
Because it's money. It's all money.
Yeah.
And that translates into bigger, better roles. That's generally speaking, like Amy Adams got nominated for Junebug, a tiny little movie, and now she's like a massive... You know, that's happened to so many people where they get nominated and then become massive superstars.
Diablo Cody for
Juno.
And now she's, you know, as massive as she is. And then she came out of nowhere, won an Oscar, and now she's great. But it is the industry standard. At the end of the day, whenever you, no matter the nationality that you come from, the film that you make, you, at the end of the day, you kind of want it to win an Oscar.
Right.
Some people don't even like acting, but they have an Oscar acceptance speech in their, you know,
at the ready.
True. Yeah, at the ready in their back pocket. Just because it's such a grand.
It's industry standard. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get into how the Academy works, but I also think, you know, we keep talking about like you know, it's these movies are already made, right? So it's not really the Academy's fault per se. There, yes, some films are getting overlooked, perhaps some roles are getting overlooked, but I think systemically it probably starts somewhere else, and this is a trickle down.
Right.
And the Academy is actually taking a lot of blame because this is how we all see it. You know, like the Oscars is just illuminating the fact that there are
massive problems with diversity in
exactly
not as much it seems like in television, but with movies still exactly. like huge.
Yeah.
So give us a little tutorial, Emu.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing your homework on absolutely. How the Academy mm-hmm. works.
So it looks like there's like about 60. Let me hold up. There's 6,200 members of the Academy.
6,200
or
6,200?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge. Okay. Yeah.
But so every. And they're divided into all the categories in which one can be nominated. So actors, writers, directors. So everyone kind of votes in their own category.
Okay.
But the entire Academy votes for Best Picture. And so for each of the four acting categories, voters are asked to list up to five names ranking in order of preference. So the nomination ballots are sorted based on everyone's first place ranking. And then actors receiving enough first place votes, they become nominees. So in case after the first pass, then they go through the remaining ballots. So everyone's number two. If there's not enough actors to reach the threshold, then they go through everyone's number two votes and see who kind of got the most number two votes.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
how they get their they final tally it. Five. Okay. Yeah. So even if you did nominate an actor of color or, you know, you had a more diverse vote, just because you did doesn't mean that everyone else did.
Right. So there's 6,200 people to blame here.
Yeah. So it seems like ultimately, it's not, I don't think it's a major race issue. I think it was just a number of like nominations in general that, or submissions that were received that you could nominate people as anyways. So okay. I think that's the main issue as to why there wasn't more mm-hmm. diversity.
Mm-hmm. And how, do you have any idea of the makeup of this group? Like in terms of who's on the board or who's on the, I know that the Academy has recently come out and said, okay, we're going to do a giant push for diversity. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, they've made some changes, you know, as of this week.
Yeah. Right.
To
yeah.
kind of break so down that.
They have a board of governors, mm-hmm. and that's made up currently of 51 members, and it's three from each of the 17 branches. Academy. Yeah. And then they all vote on each of the applicants. But what they're hoping to do right now, it's like 93% of them are white.
Right.
I think there's only one African-American, that's the president.
Right.
And then a third of them are women. Mm. So that's a big kind
disparity
of
disparity there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem there with just the makeup.
Of the makeup right. of the Board of Governors, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then, like you were saying, let's start, like, back it up. You know, have you guys watched the HBO series, the Project Greenlight at all?
No, but I heard about the Matt Damon situation.
Yeah, there's this producer on it, Effie. Mm-hmm. She is like the star of the whole show. She's pretty dynamic and amazing, and she's African American. And she, her whole thing is like she has everybody that she brings in is a person of color. Like she doesn't play around. That's her passion. That's what she's working on. That's what her mission is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching the show, I'm like, okay, like, I get it. But, you know, it just seemed like a little bit much. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sort of really hearing, and she's saying there's such a lack of, like, you know, editors who are, you know, just, it just goes down the line. And you're like, okay, I see what her passion is. I'm really hearing why she feels so strongly about this, because she's not seeing the representation that right. she should.
And it's almost deep to, like, I mean, a lot of people are talking about representation about, like, actors and whatnot, but it goes as deep as writers, editors, and such, because if you have, say, a Caucasian writer writing for a black character, eventually, or let yeah, eventually the You will want to cast a Caucasian actor, because only because it's like, I'm writing this character as best as I know how, you know, as best as my experiences and everything that I've gone through is coming out on the page, you know. So it's almost like if you have a white writer writing for a black person, it's kind of weird a little bit. it's a little strange. And so I feel like it goes as deep as just the writers, the creators of the mm-hmm. of the subject matter and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know my dad has a really good friend who, you know, was one of the main writers on the Jeffersons, which
right.
is, he's white, he's, you know, an old Jewish guy. And it's yeah. like, that's how it always was.
Yeah.
There weren't black writers writing right, Jefferson.
Right.
Which is surprising.
It's crazy. Like, why would that be?
I mean, I feel like any, you know, I feel like everyone is, there's plenty of talented people who have the ability right. to write for different races. But,
right.
Like, I don't think there's, like, do I think a black writer could write for me? I 100% do. Do you know, do I think an Asian writer could write a part for me? Like, 1,000%. But I think that it's, like, what is, I think, the comfort zone and what you know and the nuances right. for your story.
Yeah,
they're going to, you know, if the more stories that are told by different races, the more nuanced that story in general mm-hmm. can be.
Exactly.
Because it's, you know, mm-hmm. telling yeah. your own story. I can't tell, yeah.
At one point in a writer's room, I've come into the situation where I you know, I was only person of color in the writer's room.
Okay.
And when we started casting people, it was, you know, open. Any person of color, it doesn't matter. Anybody. Not
just open. You guys are like, hey, it's open.
It's open, right?
Yep.
But what we wound up finding out is that we leaned towards the Caucasian actors because the character was written
more white voices.
Right. It wasn't translating correctly.
It wasn't translating.
I want to hear more about that. Maybe we'll take a little break.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an interesting point because you were in the field.
Right.
In the moment, in the writer's room, and you kind of saw.
Yeah, watching the audition, you're like, oh, she's playing this role really good. And it's like, I wonder why. Oh. And then you kind of come to that epiphany.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we get back.
OMFG.
Hey, everyone. I want to remind you of a great way you can help support the show and wolfpop.com at the same time, and that is through Amazon. You know Amazon. You love Amazon. And since you hopefully love OMFG too, here's a way that you can love both at the same time. The next time you want to shop at Amazon, don't go to amazon.com. That is for weirdos. Instead, go to wolfpop.com/Amazon. That'll take you to the same Amazon you know and love, and all the prices will be the great Amazon.com prices you know and love. But we'll get a sweet, sweet kickback. So you don't have to pay an extra dime, but OMFG gets credit from Amazon, and it really adds up and keeps us and the engineers and the microphones turned on and everyone really happy. So remember, go to wolfpop.com/Amazon and bookmark that puppy too, so that every time you need to buy batteries or a Kindle or a television or a cardigan or a last second present for your loved one's birthday, you use our special link and you help us earn cash at the same time. Hooray!
OMFG!
We are here with Emuzu and Garrick Bernard. I love that name. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It just gets better every time I say it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Both come in real strong with your name game.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Names. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mom.
Right. Thank you.
So obviously,
oh my God, I miss your mom.
Oh, your mom.
I miss your mom.
Was she in here?
No, but her texts were.
What was that? There was that one thing.
Halls of my God.
What was it?
Halls of Sadness.
Halls of Sadness. She was so upset that Emu went to Vegas, and she was like,
"Oh wait, no, that was something else." Oh, she said like. Like, all you do is, like, dance bong, bong, bong.
Yeah.
Bitty bong, bong or something. Yeah.
Bong, bong.
It was so good.
Does she have anything for us? Not right now. But is there any text?
There's something from her? Yeah.
She's like, of course there
she's
is.
She's everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back with Garrick. So explain a little bit more about what that experience was in the room. So there was you were a writer?
Right, yes.
On it?
I was a writer on it.
But everybody else was white?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you're doing the casting session totally open to whoever walks through the door.
Right.
But then you're finding...
You're finding out that regardless of, you know, of how badly you want to, you know, it was a very open company and they just want to hire people with better representation is one of their main goals.
Okay.
So as far as them casting people, they left it open, left it wide open. But the white actors or the Caucasian actors were playing the roles a little bit better because it was written almost for them.
Right.
Like, it's not intentional, of course.
Right.
But it is, whether you like it or not, you're going to write leaning towards your own experience.
It's nuanced.
Yes. Yeah. But that's very real. Yeah. You know, if there was a part written for a black lady, I'm not sure that I would kill it on the page,
right,
you know, without feeling a little inauthentic to myself.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, I think that's like a subtlety that people would want to skip over,
mm-hmm,
because it's like, oh, well, everyone can do everything. But it's like, no, actually, when you're writing a story for a certain person, it's going to translate better when that walks through the door, because we're limited, you mm-hmm know?
Yeah.
We're limited human beings.
Right. Yeah,
I also feel like, you know, there's a lot of new initiatives in diversity, specifically for writing. I think like ABC, Nickelodeon, CBS, they all have all these initiatives to hire new writers that have diverse backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
But to enter these programs, most of the time, you have to write a spec of something that's already existing on television. So you're still, even though you have a diverse background, you have to put your voice into the mainstream and use whatever's out there right now, predominantly white cast and mostly on television. And that's what's going to pick up, basically, or get you attention. If you write an original piece, they're not going to pay attention to you.
Right.
You're nobody. You have nothing to offer them.
You're actually not allowed to submit.
Yeah, exactly.
Original.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like very interesting because even though they have these programs set in place to supposedly bring up new talent, they're still perpetuating and feeding into this, like, I don't know.
Right. So as an Asian woman, you would have to write like a Modern Family spec where there is one Asian, but She's adopted.
We were talking about, like, in the intro, I was saying that my husband's Chinese, and we watched the first episode of Fresh Off the Boat, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he just, like, paused and just felt kind of just taken back because he didn't realize for himself how he hasn't seen himself on TV.
Exactly.
He's like, how has it taken this long?
Yeah.
It's insane because there's specifics to being Chinese that are wonderful and great and hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, and we reference it all the time. Like his sister, you know, there's an episode where the mom has to go to like a fortune teller for advice. And that's his sister. Like we were talking about, that was real. That's real for his family. And we'll reference things like in Fresh Off the Boat. You know, that's what my sister did when she was deciding whether to be with her husband or not. Like that was real.
I also go to fortune tellers in those situations.
Yeah.
So I'm true with that.
Yeah. True.
Cross-cultural. I see you.
Yeah.
Right.
So did you feel have you had any of those feelings?
Absolutely. I mean, like looking on television, I was like, Constance Wu is amazing, but I'm like, she's like one Asian female that is on television. I'm like, Lucy Liu, she's great. Margaret Cho, great. But like, there's like three of them, really.
Right,
there's like not a lot to choose from. And I'm like, when Will Smith was talking about how this is bigger than the Oscars, it's about, you know, not seeing yourself represented in the media or recognized. I mean, I feel like coming from this culturally, like my mom from the very beginning was like, if you are up for a job and you have the same qualifications as a white woman, that white woman is going to get that job just because that's what America is kind of about. I mean, she's like, you have to be 2 to 3 times like more outrageous or like not outrageous. I guess in entertainment, more outrageous is a better word. But you have to be more talented and you have to have these things kind of locked down to even be competitive. So I found that I kind of was not surprised to see so little out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it just motivates me to have my own authentic story and not be worried about the natural conventions that are existing right now. I'm trying to push through that. And that's why I feel like a lot of people that have come up recently, like especially in the comedy space, they're doing their own thing and they're putting it out there. They don't need a studio. They don't need any of
like,
that.
Like, for instance?
Yeah. Issa Rae, like when she got recognized for Awkward Black Girl, Shonda, or I think ABC picked that up. And I mean, Shonda also does amazing things for diversity.
Shonda Rhimes,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And she just, all of her shows have such diverse casts. And I'm trying to think of other instances.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. That's great. Great.
But
even with like diversity, I think it's more interesting to watch because if those characters are well written and they're written by their counterpart writers, those personalities clashing or those different backgrounds clashing is always really fun to watch. Like, I think that's a really cool thing to see.
Well, I think what's so nice too about like this becoming such a topic of conversation is that it really just proves that white people are tired of white people. Like, it's just true. Like, we're done. Like, I don't need to see more.
I mean, yeah, like it was a bummer just because I feel like, gosh, really? How lame. It's so lame to at this time at 2016 when, and I think you guys talking about like it's antiquated.
Yeah.
It's like that, the whole system is goofy anyway in terms of the Oscars. Like, who cares? But people care because there's money involved and it gets you better jobs. And that's why it's important.
And ultimately, as we were saying, it's the standard. You do care, you know, a little bit.
As much as you don't want to pretend that you don't.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I want that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I want that opportunity. If I'm up against another, like, you got to be kidding me that there's no one, like, it's not possible that the only people up there are that are qualified are one race. It's not logical. Mm-hmm. So there's a problem, you know. But I think that I don't know what I think.
It's it's almost as if it's not even that they're one race. It's that they're old. They're on average, most of the Oscar voters are 65 years old.
Right.
So that means essentially that person went to school when schools were still segregated. So if you can really think about yourself when you literally in the pivotal time of you becoming an adult or a growing mind or what have you, you were just with your own kind. Mm-hmm. Like if imagine that little, you know, foundation that's been built. Now coming into your life later when you're looking at a movie or what have you, what are you going to really relate to? And it's like, oh, well, of course, I'm just going to relate to the people who look like me.
Right.
You know.
Well, the Academy has come out and said the board's goal is to commit to doubling the number of women and diverse members of the Academy by 2020. Quite some time from now, but yes. Mm-hmm. The Academy is going to lead and not wait for the industry to catch up. Academy President Cheryl Boone Isaacs. The new measures regarding governance and voting will have an immediate impact and begin the process of significantly changing our membership composition. So, you know, kudos to the Academy for like having this moment, mm-hmm. you know, where they at least said, okay, we are going to have to do something. And that's a great thing about people using their words. And I think with social media, there's never been any time in our lifetime where we've seen the turnaround be this quick. It's like Jada Pinkett Smith is like, what? And then like 5 seconds later, it's like, we're making changes. You know, it's really phenomenal that the turnaround time is like crazy.
Oh we're going to change it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for bringing this to our attention. Right. It will be changed.
Then we have some tweets from folk that have feelings on Oscars So White.
One was Brett Easton Ellis said, actors nominate actors. The Academy does not nominate actors. Actors nominate actors. Remember this. Mm-hmm. Which I actually, that got me because I was like, it is all the people who get screeners that we all know here in Los Angeles have a vote. And like, that's what's kind of messed up.
That's not just for SAG?
Well, it depends where you're getting your screeners from.
Gotcha.
But, you know, and I'm not sure who gets what, but.
But
you know, that's why they've got them. They've got a vote.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting. It's not necessarily the Academy, even though they do take the final. There is a lot of people weighing in.
There's a lot of responsibility coming from all angles. As I said before, like, they could have nominated someone that they really thought deserved it, but that person just didn't get enough votes, and that's why we have the roster we have. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard it, I thought at least for the best actors, I thought, well, these are all great actors. Like, I mean, obviously, I thought, like, Idris Elba's performance was amazing, but I just felt that, I don't know, like, I mean, not to compare them better, because acting is also so subjective, like what you think, but it is a majority vote. So I felt like eventually it wasn't as, I don't know, I felt like it wasn't a race thing for that specific category anyways. I felt like there was a lot of competition that specific moment.
How do you guys think Chris Rock should handle his hosting?
I think he should just make jokes about it the entire time. He said he wasn't going to step down, it definitely, if he would have stepped down, that definitely would have been like a, okay, well, now we definitely have to say something.
Right.
Because it's just ridiculous if our host is upset with us. But, right. I mean, they came out and they changed the rules and whatnot. You have to change the regulations.
It is interesting that there hasn't been a black host of the Oscars or a host of color since 2005. And in 2005, it was Chris Rock. So just let it sink in.
Wow.
Do you think they planned that it was a plan like, hi, we're looking at the movies. We think it's going to be a whitewash again.
Yeah. I don't know.
I agree with you, though. I think, I mean, like, at this point, too, like, when I first heard of all of this stuff, I was like, are really like this? I know it's inciting change and big stuff. But I was just like, it's the Oscars. Like, it's really like meh. So I think like he needs to just, you know, as you said.
Yeah.
Make jokes about it, like call people out, like awkwardly, like Ricky Gervais did at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, and, I love when he does that.
And that's all you can really do, you know, you were invited to be a host and you still are going to be the host. So just kill it and call people out. That's
the
all
whole
I
prove that God can bleed thing, that whole, you know, strike the higher power is really good. I like that, humanizing people.
Yeah.
That, like that.
Bringing them down to the level they should be.
Right.
So are you guys going to like hook up after the show?
Possibly. We'll see.
Are you going to send one handshake and a
Yeah, if you find
martini?
Me on Bumble, let me know.
Okay.
Are you on Bumble?
I am not on Bumble.
Okay.
You might be.
I don't know. It's not the first time I've heard of it, but internet dating is weird.
Have you done it?
I made one.
Profile.
Well, I made a profile, and then I saw that it was like taking your iPhone pictures, and they're like it was taking your iPhone pictures, and I had my Facebook pictures up, so like all the pictures were like blown up or like looked weird, and I was like, I don't want to deal with this.
Okay,
yeah, that, it makes a vertical situation.
Makes a vertical picture, and you just couldn't deal with that.
Yeah,
so you've been meeting the women on the out in the world,
out in the field, as I like to say,
field work.
Yeah,
boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
There it is.
Hey, good for you for making those kind of connections in 2016.
Right. It's rare.
It's very old school.
Yeah.
We applaud all old school things. So,
are we being diverse in our casting of lovers?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I don't like to, I don't look. For skin or skin color or anything like that. It's just what I'm
You're having an open casting session.
Yes.
Where you're letting everyone come through.
There it is.
And
because the future hasn't been written in any color.
No.
That's right.
Is any race like sort of bubbling up to the top as a clear winner or?
Not really.
Okay, great.
If I'm being honest.
Great. Just catch as catch can.
Yeah.
Great. Emo, have you hooked up lately?
Yeah, like Smash last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go?
I mean, just tender, but you
tender
know.
Smashing?
Well, I'm tender right
You're
now.
You're tender from the smash.
Yeah.
Was this a smash and go, or is this someone we've been knowing for a little bit?
I'm not going to say anything about that.
Okay.
But I'll just say we're in retrograde. It's all about the revisitation.
Okay. Oh, okay. You've said something. Okay.
A blast from the past.
Ew.
There we go.
Oh, you always deliver, you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
What did we learn? We learned it's time to, you know, get
the system's gonna let you down.
Yeah,
you know, I feel it.
Shake it up. New times are coming. It starts from the bottom up. And Garrick and Emu, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Us. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you guys are in us now. Just deal with it.
Palm to replay. OMFG.
Thank you guys for listening today. We are at OMFG Pod.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
And I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster. Bless your hearts for anyone who finds us. We know it's a challenge.
We don't make it easy, but you guys seem to find your way. God bless.
Thank you for chatting at us on the Twitter. We love it. We love to tweet at you and, you know, fave stuff.
And it was so great to see our old guests back here, Emu and Garrick.
God, those faces.
God, they're cute.
Diamonds in the rough.
I mean, I really hope I see something happen between those two, but you never know. We can only try.
We just put people together and we say
live mazel.
And let live.
Yeah. We can only do what we can do. And that wasn't our goal.
No.
But when you feel a spark, you have to talk about it.
And you did.
Yeah.
Because there's no holding back.
You can't
sometimes.
You have to live.
All right. Well, see you guys next week.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, it's Paul Scheer. I have a podcast with June Diane Raphael and Jason Manzoukas where we watch the worst movies ever made, and then we try to figure out, how did this get made? Do we get answers? No, but I think it's a fun time. It's kind of like talking with all your friends after you watch a really shitty movie. Here, take a listen.
From what I know of tornadoes, they're wind, essentially.
Yes.
That's picture.
And what do you know of tornadoes?
I'm about to tell
June
you.
June was an amateur storm chaser. Go ahead.
Wind starts to sort of pick up dirt and debris, and it kind of collapses
you
in.
You know nothing about tornadoes.
Let her go. Listen to How Did This Get Made on Earwolf or your favorite podcast app. We would love it if you did.
Pop. This has been a Wolf Pop production, executive produced by Paul Scheer, Adam Sachs, Chris Bannon, and Matt Gourley. For more information and content, visit wolfpop.com.